Welcome back to Hunk Covered the Podcast. I'm Jess, and today's episode is probably the most informative but also the most shocking episode I've recorded so far. I was joined by Gillian, an aromatherapist in New Zealand, to explain not only all about her business and training, but the dangerous misuse of essential oils promoted by essential oil MLM companies and their reps. I didn't know too much about oils prior to speaking with Gillian, but learning how they are shockingly misused and dangerous advice is given out as standard in the MLM companies, I honestly don't know what to say. I'm shocked. Some of the horror stories she talked about were among the worst I've heard. If essential oils is something you are interested in, wanting to learn more about, or require further support and advice for the proper safe and use, please listen in throughout the episode and check the description box below, where I've linked all of Gillian's sources and a very helpful Facebook group which is open for anyone to join. Enjoy the episode. But thank you for joining me anyway. I'm very happy you've been able to join me on this one. We've finally been able to do it.
Yes. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's a good one. I've been excited for this one. Just start by explaining who you are, what you do, where you're from, and all of that lovely stuff.
Okay. So my name is Gillian Parkinson. I'm a clinical aromascience practitioner. So another word for that is an aromatherapist, but mm-hmm. I studied more of the science side, including in aromatherapy. I studied 2009 and graduated at the end of 2010. And I've had a practice in New Zealand. Oh, yes, I'm from New Zealand.
Yes.
COVID-free New Zealand.
Yeah, they're doing brilliant with handling COVID.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Brilliant.
We've been very lucky and we know it. You know, mm-hmm. we don't take it for granted. I've had a private practice since 2010. Wow. So that entails consults. And I've also got a couple of brands. I make a tattoo aftercare product, which is a separate brand, and also my aromatherapy products for health and well-being. And my little business is called L'Essence, and tincture is the name of my tattoo aftercare product. So that came as a byproduct of, because I love tattoos,
yep.
and there was nothing on the market that aids and speeds the healing process, so I formulated something. So that's been on the market for 10 years now. So
wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
So because of the enormous concern worldwide around the unsafe use of and overuse of essential oils in the multi-level marketing world, I also started a safety group on Facebook. So it's called the New Zealand Essential Oil Safety Group. Anyone can join from around the world. However, if you are an active multi-level marketing reseller, I'm sorry, but you're not welcome. Mm-hmm. We don't want battles. We want facts, and we want to be able to inform, and we want people to be able to speak out without being afraid of being attacked. Or we've got qualified aromatherapists that are running it.
Yeah.
We don't want to have to fight with unqualified resellers because mm-hmm. contrary to what they say, we do know better than they do.
Yeah, that is a big one. I mean, I was excited to do this one, and I'll let everybody know for listening purposes that it was Hattie Rowe. She's been on the podcast episode before, who put us in contact, but she wasn't able to make the episode today, but I know she'll be listening to it.
Right.
So thank you for that, Hattie.
Yes, and Hattie, I love your fierce professionalism, the way you're delivering your message is just incredible.
Yeah.
So I just
she's doing amazing things.
It's a massive, I'm sure she gets it, but it's a massive public service
mm-hmm.
kind of that she's doing.
Massive, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It really is. She's amazing. Mm. So I must say I've had no experience with essential oils, none. I like the smell of things, I must say, or they've been in the room when I've had treatments and stuff like that, but I've never known anything about them. And my first experience was watching the Netflix show Unwell.
yes.
episode one that was about, and everybody in the anti-MLM groups were like, you need to watch this episode. So I did, and I was horrified.
I know. And let me tell you something exciting about that. I just got to grab a, I just want to grab a book.
Yep.
You can edit. So I know this is audio, but this book is called The Unspoken Truth About Essential Oils. And the lady, Stacey Haluka, who is the author, she was on Unwell. This book, it's only 84 pages, is absolutely incredible. It's Stacey's experience as a multi-level marketing reseller. She's also a Reiki practitioner. She's really into natural and Mother Earth. She's the most wonderful lady.
Wow.
She followed all the rules and all the instructions that she was given by her upline. And she has now developed a lifetime of sensitization to essential oils from overuse and incorrect methods of use, all promoted by her upline and by the essential oils that companies that she was selling for. She got so sick that she was contemplating not wanting to live. It's that serious. And this book is available on Amazon, but you can also buy it as as a Kindle option. In New Zealand, it's about $6. So it would only be about £3, I imagine.
Yeah. I'll definitely link that in the bottom of the episode.
Yes, and it takes an hour and a half to read, and it is so informative. Just that, and it's backed by leading aromatherapists around the world. So, you know, like Robert Tisserand. Have you heard of the Tisserand Institute in the UK?
I haven't, no.
Robert Tisserand is probably what we term as the god of essential oils. He's been using them since the 70s. He's been, you know, writing about them, and he runs massive courses. If I do any professional development, it's now through the Tisserand Institute in the UK. He's incredible. This is just spot on, and I think that if there are any essential oil resellers out there that are a little bit dubious about what they're doing, this is going to make them go, I need to stop now, because I mean, I got onto page 7 of this and was crying. The pain that this woman went through. I know your audio people can't see it, but these are some pictures of
from using oils incorrectly.
Yes. So what happened was, she was using them as she was told. I was diffusing all day. She was using them on her body undiluted, which is one of the worst things you can do.
Yeah, I saw that in that program.
Ingesting them. And what her body did, and it was quite quick for her, because some people take, everyone's different. I think it was only for about 4 months for her. She started getting an unexplained rash on her body, and that's when her body went, I can't take this anymore. And she started getting a rash. I think it was on her arm to begin with. It was on her arm.
Oh, that looks so sore.
Yeah, I know. And it just spread and spread and spread. It went on to her stomach.
It looks like aggravated. Like, I know a rash comes from within, doesn't it? Essentially, it's not.
Yes.
You know, that looks like, ow. That looks like it's on fire.
It's what it is, and that's exactly what she said. She said she felt like she was trapped in a room with fire ants, mosquitoes, and wasps. She was hospitalized. But one of the things, she kept ringing her upline, and they just kept saying, your body's detoxifying. Keep doing it. It's fine. I know. So she was essentially poisoning herself every day, repeatedly. And she thought to herself, at least I can cover it up with clothes and it's not on my face. And that's when in March, like 2 or 3 months after it started coming, that's when she started getting the rash on her face. She was told to put frankincense neat on that rash. And that's what happened. So she was then hospitalised. She's now got permanent scarring on her body from it.
These pictures are absolutely crazy.
I know. It's such a must read, and it's not sensationalised at all. It's facts, and it's facts, you know, by aromatherapists. I mean, we understand why this happened.
Mm-hmm.
She can't walk into a room now where I think there's a couple of essential oils she can use, sandalwood. There might be another one. But if she walked into my practice where I'm now, where I've got 90 bottles of essential oils over in my stand, she will have a reaction.
Oh, just so from walking in there?
Yep.
Just developed a real intolerance to it, I guess.
Yes. So that's how serious it is. And that's happened to an adult. You imagine if that happens to a child.
Oh, that's something we're definitely going to get onto, because I saw that in the program, like what they were giving the kids.
That Dr. Z spraying on his children.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I was shakes pacing. And all sorts, weren't they? Oh.
Yeah. When I was watching that, I was pacing. I just could not relax. You know, and the reseller, she was just in full sales mode. You know, she,
Oh, so, completely under the thumb of the MLM.
Yes, and I'll show you something else quickly. And I know people can't see it, but I'll explain it. This is the Essential Oil Safety Book by Robert Tisserand and Rodney Young.
That is probably the biggest book I've ever seen.
Yeah. I'll tell you how many pages it is. And I use it. It's 770 pages of safe information.
Yeah.
And what it does, it shows us, for example, an essential oil, let's just turn to myrtle, and all the chemicals that are in it, and it tells us about the effects of it, the organ-specific effects, the regulatory guidelines, the safety advice, the hazards. It doesn't tell us how we can use it, because when you study that, that's what you learn.
Yep.
But what we need to know is if someone's taking antidepressant
medication. Yeah, like any contraindications or something like that.
Exactly. If you're pregnant, if you're breastfeeding, any health conditions, the first thing that a qualified practitioner thinks of is it okay to use these essential oils with those medications? Is it going to affect them? So, the MLMs provide beautifully crafted marketing material. They make books, and there is some science in those books, but there's also some very scary recommendations and advice about, like, for example, adults can take up to 24 drops of essential oils ingesting a day.
Oh.
Children, 12 drops a day. So what isn't acknowledged is that, especially when let's talk about newborn babies, are born with very immature organs, lungs, kidneys, liver, their gut, very immature. So when we are treating babies, it's the dose that's important, plus the essential oils that are being used.
Uh-huh.
And that is so that their little systems can process the essential oils and not overload. I mean, I've got some nice, no, that's not the right word, some really good examples of some horror stories, which I'm going to tell you later. Sadly, include babies and children. But and this is information that the unqualified reseller don't know about.
Let's quickly, for people who don't know and are quite uneducated about essential oils like me, in the sense of, like, in practice, what kind of things do people use essential oils for? So what would people come to you for?
Yeah, one of the, in my experience, one of the best things essential oils are great for is any stress, anxiety, panic, depression. And we would never ever say stop your medication if you're on medication.
Sure.
And use these essential oils. They can be used to complement medication. Mm-hmm. But I have treated a lot of people where they don't really, aren't ready to go down that route, okay, go to the doctor and get medication. What can you do for me instead? And there are some really good methods. And you don't need 12 different products, you know. No. A lot of essential oils are uplifting, antidepressants, calming, relaxing. And when you blend several together, two or more together, they can become a bit of a powerhouse. And the best practice methods that the qualified community use are to be diluted correctly for the age range and what you're using them for, and using them topically on your skin. So what I mean there is we get a carrier oil. Grapeseed is a really good carrier oil. We look at what we're treating, how long that person needs to use it for, and we look at how many drops we're going to be adding to that bottle that is safe for them to use topically on their skin.
Okay.
Now, people will be wondering, if I'm stressed or my hormones are all out of whack and I get really bad PMT, how is using them topically going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Essential oils are chemicals. So if you hear that saying, make your house chemical-free,
yep,
use essential oils, yeah, that shows the level of education of the people trying to sell them, because essential oils are the chemical compositions from extracted from plants.
Mm-hmm.
And they chemicals can penetrate the hair follicles and the pores, and it's been scientifically proven that they're in the bloodstream within 2 minutes and they're in the central nervous system within 15 minutes. So they travel, wow, through the body. And that's why topical use is really effective, but they must be always, always diluted correctly. The other method of use that aromatherapists use are various inhalation methods. So that could be.
Yeah, that's the only one I knew about.
Yeah.
Really, that's the only reason I thought people use them to smell them.
Yeah. So, yeah, in a diffuser is great, but we'll talk about diffusing in a minute because there's some, mm-hmm, really strict guidelines around using diffusers. Straight from the bottle is also fantastic. So straight from the bottle is incredible for women in childbirth. I highly recommend, though, that you do, if you're going to use essential oils during childbirth, you have to do it under the guidance of a qualified practitioner,
mm-hmm,
because there are so many rules that must be applied when they're used in that environment. But anyway, straight from the bottle, drops on a tissue, specific ones, placed next to the pillow when you're sleeping. It's a very passive way, but a very effective way to inhale essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
Also drops on a tissue, folded up, pop down your top, and great for women because we've got boobies that hold it in place, and you get lovely wafts all day.
Mm-hmm.
These are really good kind of ways to support, say you're using a topical treatment and you just need an extra support for the day. Yeah. They're really good ways there. We have got something that I say a lot is that essential oils should be used for a purpose when there is a need.
Mm-hmm.
Just the same as if you went to the doctors and you had to have medication. You don't use them because they smell nice, because just in case I get sick, or just in case I get a headache.
Or as a preventative getting sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's great for a preventative if you're going into a situation where you think you might feel panic, like if I have to do panicking, you know, I can get, so I'm inhaling, you know, I do that. Great for that. But, you know, I've heard stories where a lady was ingesting papaya every day just in case she got a headache.
Oh, geez.
And if she did get a headache, she upped it, you know, but I'll tell you more about her later.
Yeah, I was going to ask as well, because I didn't know about all of the, you know, it's such a topic I know nothing about, and it's probably one of those ones that isn't spoken about enough, and I bet you see that as well. You know, people wouldn't consider it to, you know, it's not something that's I guess it's never been recommended by anybody to me. You know, I suffer with anxiety and things like that, and I have done since I was in my teens, but it's never, a professional's never said to me, you should try aromatherapy, you know. So it's one of those ones that, you know, a lot of people won't know about. But I know you touched on your training you did. So I guess my question would be, how does that differ to what, I mean, for people listening, the big ones would be, it would be Young Living, wouldn't it? And doTERRA.
Yes, doTERRA.
doTERRA. I know that's a big one. Only me, only knowing through watching that program that I looked into it a bit more.
Yes.
And they get no training, is that right?
No.
No.
Well, they say they do. They say they do, and they offer training courses now. And one of my colleagues in Wellington did the course, and it was mostly sales.
Sure. And they and how to recruit people.
Well, no, it wasn't about recruiting. It was just about sales. And it was they touched on the use of essential oils.
Okay.
It was very clever. But once they'd done it, they had the certificates, a certificate that they could display to say that they had done an authorized essential oil in our course. Oh, no. So I studied in a college in New Zealand, and I did 770 hours of training. I did. I had to do assignments. I had to do about 100 case studies, and I had to report and write down each time I did saw someone. I had to write down what I'd done, what was the outcome from the week before, what have we discussed, what was the plan for the following week, and I saw several people. Because I did it, you do four stages.
Yeah.
And you had to have eight people for each stage, and you had to see them every week. So I think it was about 100 case studies by the time I finished.
In depth.
And and it got marked, and you know, if you did something wrong, your tutor would ring you up and say, what were you thinking? Didn't you see that? I didn't have that. I'm a bit of a strict student. So, and then an exam at the end of it. And even at the end of it, I still had a mentor. This is when I used to live in Wellington. I had a mentor in Wellington that I would contact all the time. Because doTERRA came on the scene in 2012, and they didn't promote themselves as an MLM.
Okay.
To begin with.
Right.
They were very subtle about it. And all of a sudden they burst on the scene, and I started watching them. And I started getting concerned really quickly. And by 2015, I was out of my mind with concern. See, the thing is, our industry isn't regulated. So they can do and say.
That was my next question. That was my next question. And something that can cause so much damage, like the pictures you just showed me in that book, why is it not? Like, that's crazy.
I know. I've been trying to get the attention of the New Zealand government since 2015.
Wow.
And I was getting very close to being able to see somebody at the beginning of last year, and then COVID hit, and unfortunately
everything took a back seat, I guess.
I mean, if I could have a chat with Jacinda Ardern, it would make my day. And, you know, I go through periods of hounding people, and then it does get very exhausting, mentally exhausting. But I've got plans to keep going and you know, see what I can do. And I know regulation is going to change things, and even for me it's going to be paperwork and annoying, but I care so much about the consumers, especially babies and children.
Yeah.
Because they don't have a voice.
No.
You know, one of the terrible things that's been happening in New Zealand is, and are prolific here, doTERRA and Young Living are prolific in New Zealand, is that early childhood centres, you know, they've got staff and mothers of babies and children are resellers, and they're going into early childhood centres and they're putting diffusers on all day, and they're putting really unsafe essential oils in those diffusers. Before I go into a bit of a story there, let me tell you about the diffuser best practice guidelines. So for So you've come home from work and you're feeling really stressed. You've had a shit of a day, mm-hmm. and you want to calm down. And instead of opening a bottle of wine, although, you know,
yeah.
I love to do that. so you'd pop 6 to 8 drops in a diffuser of something that is relaxing, and you diffuse it for 60 minutes, and then you stop. And then you wait for 60 minutes, and if it's necessary, if you're still feeling a bit tense, you can diffuse for another 60 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and then that is it. What happens is also people start going, oh, I can't smell it anymore. I'll add some more drops. It's because the olfactory system is full and they can't take on anymore. So 60 minutes diffusing, turn off the 60, repeat once if necessary. For babies and children, it depends on the age range of how many drops. You diffuse for 30 minutes. Break for 60 minutes and repeat if necessary. And that is all.
Yeah.
So the other thing, newborn babies to 3 months, there's only 3 essential oils that can be used for that age group. And that is rim and chamomile, lavender, and it's a species, Lavandula angustifolia. So this is where we get a bit more scientific.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go back to that. And then there's mandarin. Are the only 3 essential oils that can be used, and they are used in small doses.
Mm.
You would use 1 to 2 drops in a diffuser if you've got a fractious baby.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what for that age range, like what would you use them for newborns?
Well, maybe, they can be used because I make a little product called Gentle Baby Blend. And it's specifically for little rashes. You know, they can get rashes in their armpits.
Oh, okay.
It's also good for colic and cramps and on their tummy.
Mm-hmm.
Mandarin is fantastic for digestive system. Roman chamomile is what they call, nature's Panadol. It's got amazing pain relieving. It's also very calming. It's sedating. And the same with lavender.
Mm-hmm.
They're the diffusing guidelines, and they must be adhered to. I'll tell you why when I tell you some horror stories.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, and they can be used topically on babies and children as well. But again, I highly recommend you do it under the guidance of a qualified practitioner.
Mm-hmm.
That may mean you don't always need a consult. I mean, I've got products on my website that don't require consults, but they are made for specific age groups.
Yep.
And I know, because I've got a first do no harm philosophy, so I'm very cautious.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also very open to people contacting me and asking me questions, and you know, and I don't charge.
That's brilliant.
I don't say things to sell things. And I don't have a profit at all costs philosophy, which that's my big thing about MLMs. They say things to sell things and profit at all costs.
Yeah, I think that's the same, isn't it, in every MLM, in every kind of selling any kind of product. It's no different. And it's scary that something that can go so medically wrong, I want to say.
Oh, I know.
Not regulated in that way. I mean, how would it work so, you know, people using them incorrectly and ending up, you know, babies with these horrific rashes and, you know, reactions to the oils. Does that mean if they go and seek medical help for that, you know, like, I guess what's the crossover with the medical world? Will the doctors know what to do or?
No. Not unless they've had some training in aromatherapy. It was quite lucky because my profile is speaking out quite loudly in New Zealand about my concerns. It raised my profile, and so women mm-hmm. were contacting me saying, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And the thing is, an unexplained rash on a body, I don't think doctors or pharmacists would think to say, are you using essential oils? Because an unexplained rash can be from overeating strawberries, you know, hives, mm-hmm. hive-like rash. So, you know, they'll probably go through what foods have you introduced or, you know, unless you know that essential oils can have a negative effect.
Yeah.
how would anyone know to ask? And this is where I'm a bit more compassionate about the uneducated MLM reseller.
Mm-hmm.
How are they supposed to know what they don't know? They're yeah. getting fed beautifully crafted marketing material,
uh-huh.
hard covered, beautiful books, you know, all the pamphlets and things like that. They are trusting the people that own these billion-dollar companies.
And you think they're the people you can trust. Yeah. The majority of the time, you think people who run these businesses, you know, they'd get shut down if they weren't operating properly. They'd get shut down if they didn't know what they were talking about. And no, it's really not the case, is it, sometimes?
And the other sad thing is... Our study isn't regulated either. So in America, mm-hmm. you could do a weekend course and call yourself an aromatherapist.
Oh, okay.
See, our courses are New Zealand. It's an NZQA course. So mm-hmm. the New Zealand Qualifications Authority had to say, yep, we recognise this.
Oh, okay.
Is
New Zealand one of the most, you know, one of the only countries who kind of
no UK do it through I think it's IFPA, International Federation of Practicing Aromatherapists.
Wow.
Yeah, so there are
accredited, that's the word I was gonna say.
Yes, that's right. There's regulatory bodies around the world,
but in America they seem to be behind,
you know. America do too, but people will go out on their own, you
mm-hmm.
know.
And I was going to ask about the quality of the MLM products. Have you ever seen any yourself or tried any yourself? Price point, quality of them, what are they like?
Okay, so let's talk about a few myths.
Mm-hmm.
So the MLMs say that they have the best grade essential oils in the world.
Of course. That's why you have to buy them.
They have the most pure essential oils in the world.
Yep.
That is the biggest piece of rubbish, because an essential oil is either pure or it isn't. It's either adulterated, which means something's been added to it to make the smell better or make it go further, or, you know, like Melissa, for example, is very, very expensive, and it smells very lemony. It smells very lemon balmy, lemon grassy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, an adulterated Melissa would be, say, 2 mils of actual Melissa and then top it up with some lemongrass and then sell it as Melissa. I mean, Melissa's around $600 for a 10 mil bottle. Yeah, very expensive. And anyway, and I've seen a doTERRA reseller in New Zealand tug a bottle back like this. I'm feeling stressed today, so I'm going to drink some Melissa. And she gets the bottle, and I've got a photo of her doing it. The silly woman did an Instagram story about it. So anyway, so that could be adulterated, or they might put, say, some fragrance in there, or a synthetic essential oil to mm-hmm. top it up. So it's either pure or it's adulterated. There's no such thing as therapeutic grade, which they profess. They have therapeutic grade essential oils. There's no such thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing as food grade essential oils either.
Yeah.
So these are names that their marketing teams have made up to give them superiority, and they don't have that. Yes, there can be inferior pure essential oils, and that can be, that's down to the plant material. That's down to how they've been grown, where they've been grown, how they've mm-hmm. been harvested, how the essential oils have been extracted. So,
okay.
And the thing is, how we know if they're good is we get these data sheets that tell us all the chemical constituents, what are the percentages of this, and you know, of each chemical, and it's from that we know that we've got a very good high quality.
Yeah.
So there's differences in qualities, but there's no difference. It's pure or it's not.
It would be, I guess, like I've got an aloe vera plant, and sometimes when I get eczema flare ups, I like to cut a bit off and squeeze it on.
Yeah.
Yes. Not the same as, I've got some over there actually, if I could be bothered to lean for it. Aloe vera moisturizer.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing.
No. But also doing mm-hmm. it with the plant isn't, even though you're putting that neat on your skin, that's fine mm-hmm. because you're only getting a tiny portion of whatever's the chemicals are in there. When they extract essential oils, they're extracting all the chemicals at a really high concentration.
And they're just tipping it down their throats like it's normal.
Yep. Yep. And they are putting it neat, undiluted on their skin, which is one of the worst things you can mm-hmm. do. So let's talk about overuse.
Yeah.
So overuse is when you're you're diffusing them day in, day out. You're using them on your skin undiluted. You're putting them in your food, in your drinks. You're making little roller balls and, you know, using them all day. And I have had people say to me, I've been doing this for a year and I'm fine. Well, I'm saying, go and get your liver count checked. Mm-hmm. How's your gut feeling? You know, got any irritable bowel syndrome symptoms? You know, there's always an answer. And this is why Stacey's book's so good.
Mm-hmm.
She gives you a very real scenario. So the other thing that resellers don't realize, and the consumers, that essential oils build up in the body. So, and each essential oil is either a top note, a middle note, or a base note. Top notes can stay in the system for up to 24 hours. And we're talking about the fruits and the flowers. So we're talking about all the citrus essential oils, and as well as petitgrain and tea tree, basil, palmarosa, and all, like I said, all the citruses. They stay in the body for up to 24 hours, and then mm-hmm. they're processed through the liver and the kidney and come out when we go to the loo.
Yeah.
Then we've got the middle notes, and the middle notes are your harder feeling herbs like lavender, thyme, rosemary, clary sage, black pepper. They stay in the body for up to two to three days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got the base notes. And the base notes are your divine sandalwood, frankincense, the exotic flowers like rose and jasmine, patchouli, copaiba. They can stay in your body for up to a week. So if you are using over and over and over every day, you are building up the chemicals in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when a reaction can occur. And it could be irritability. It could be feelings of overwhelmness. It could be insomnia. It could be headaches. The worst case scenario is the unexplained rash, because that's mm-hmm. when your body's really screaming, can you please stop this?
Those pictures were horrific.
I know. And so if we go back to the early childhood centres in New Zealand, luckily I was contacted by, and we're really good friends now, by a lady that was really concerned about what was going on in her early childhood centre mm-hmm. in New Zealand. And I was asked to go and speak there. So what they were doing is diffusing a product called On Guard. And On Guard is a very harsh antimicrobial central treatment from one of our MLMs. It contains essential oils that are not suitable for babies and children, not suitable for during pregnancy or breastfeeding. If you have a heart condition, if you've had recent surgery, if you have suffered from diabetes and take diabetic medication. Yeah. So anyway, they were diffusing On Guard in their centre all day.
They
were making hand wash out of it. They were spraying and wiping the surfaces with it. In the baby's room, so they had, they took 3 months and up babies in mm-hmm. their centre. In the sleep room, they were sprinkling lemongrass on the carpet. They were putting lavender on the carpet. So these children were getting essential oils in their system at early childhood school. Yeah. No requesting of the parents. Is it okay if we use a complementary health treatment on your children mm-hmm. without any guidance from a qualified person? You know, I said to them, what you do not think about is what's happening at home. Essential oils are prolific in New Zealand. How do you know that they're not getting this at home day in, day out? And then they come to early childhood centre and they do not get a break from it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some very shocked faces, you know, when you start making them think about things like that.
Yeah.
We have a service in New Zealand called Plunkett, and it's a Plunkett nurses are like your Karatani nurses. You have a baby and the Plunkett nurse comes to see you to make sure that...
They're called health visitors here.
And when they get to a certain age, you go to Plunkett rooms.
Oh, okay.
And the teams were holding meetings, sales meetings, in Plunkett rooms to these very tired and very, I know, very tired and very volatile mothers promoting essential oils for their babies. And these babies, you know, the mothers are tired, the babies aren't sleeping, so they'll grab anything.
They're hormonal.
Yeah, anything that they can get. And they'll do this amazing display of all these essential oils while the babies are there too. So the babies are getting exposed. And look, closed bottles, babies' sense of smells are acute. So they'll be taking in all those aromas. People smell where my practice is from the street.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's how powerful they are when they collect, you know, when you've got a lot of bottles in a room, mm-hmm. and they're all opening them, passing them around, sniffing. I mean, that in itself is so unethical marketing to very tired, you know, vulnerable women.
Can I ask on that, you know, like people were saying, you said that people could smell it from the street. Do you have to take any precautions then if you're exposed to them all day? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely I do. And I only blend Mondays and Thursdays, maybe one evening. So mm-hmm. I only usually do it about three times a week.
Yep.
Before COVID, I used to supply a Synergy. So I call Synergies undiluted, two or more undiluted essential oils that can be used via inhalation. I used to make one for travel in planes.
Okay.
For people to use once they have gotten off the plane mm-hmm. to help recover from jet lag. And I used to have to make, you know, 70 to 100 at a time. And I'd have to go in and you'd have to make sure the doors and windows were open. I'd make them, and then my body would go, I've just had enough.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, my practice room is separate to our home.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get away from it.
Yeah.
You know, I only diffuse once or twice a month.
Okay.
And it's if I really need to.
Mm-hmm.
The only things I use daily is a serum that I make for my face, but it's diluted in such a low rate that mm-hmm. it's safe. And I do use something for hormone balance two or three times a week, which is a topical treatment safely diluted that I rub on my tummy.
Wow.
That's what I use. Oh, and I've got a first aid product that I'll use if we, you know.
Yeah.
So I use them for a purpose when there is a need. But mm-hmm. yes.
It's not like you could just have them open all day in your practice.
No.
For your own safety.
No. Yeah, exactly. And I know when my body's gone, I start feeling really, funnily enough, anxious.
Mm.
I start feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah.
You know, and I've just got to get out. So I don't store essential oils in our home, in the house.
Right.
So, yeah, it's just...
And these babies are smelling them all day long.
Yep.
Oh, no.
So,
I was going to ask about the price point of the MLM, the oils.
Yeah, well,
are they different to what, like, you would sell for? And
yes, and unfortunately, that has a detrimental effect on us qualified practitioners because our prices are so much lower.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, the perception is that ours aren't as good, the quality's not as good.
Yeah,
but it's not true. It's because I'm the only one that gets the clip of the sales ticket.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, if there's 13 people, they all need to get a clip of the sales ticket. Mm-hmm. So where I might sell a relaxation Synergy for $18.50 for 7 mils,
uh-huh.
they may sell for between $50 and $70.
Wow. They're so, I mean, when I was doing a bit of research on it yesterday, ready for this, the prices, I mean, there are some websites that don't, well, they're very sneaky, aren't they? So I don't know whether the doTERRA products actually behind it, but
very sneaky.
Some of them cost a fortune. But then I've, my local pharmacy, I was in there, funnily enough, last week and waiting for my prescription, and I turned around and they had a shelf full of essential oils. Yeah. And I was like, oh,
yes,
now I'm seeing them everywhere. But they were very cheap compared.
Yeah.
So
yes,
I was thinking, oh, maybe they're like a cheap rubbish brand or something. When really, it is what it is, isn't it?
Do you know how you can tell if they are? So this is what the qualified community do. If you're selling, if you're selling a single essential oil, you should always have the species name on it. So, and that is really important because there are so many different species of the same plant, like lavender, for example. Lavendula angustifolia is the safest and the most popular, and it's the mother of essential oils. It is fantastic. But it's different from Lavender Grosso or Lavender Intermedia X, for example. They're two more different species. Okay. They have higher contents of camphor, so they aren't so good for sleep. They aren't so good for wound healing. They are good for colds and flus and muscle complaints. So, and then eucalyptus, there are so many different types of eucalyptus. Mm-hmm. And there are only two that are suitable for children and babies. And that is Eucalyptus radiata and Eucalyptus globulus. And again, dose is very, very important. And there is a bit of a myth that eucalyptus can't be used with babies and children, but they can if it's used, the right species are used and the right dose is used. And again, only used for the need when there is a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can see it is a huge topic, huge topic.
Huge.
It's not just add a drop to this, do this, do that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about food grade essential oils.
Yes, and ingesting them. I want to know why people ingest them.
I'll tell you why. Because you use a lot and you will buy more.
Okay. Uh-huh.
They tell you that to ingest them is good for your skin or your gut, or like this lady that used to ingest copaiba in case to stop herself from getting a headache. You know, she'd put one drop in a glass of water and have it every day. If she got a headache, she'd have five drops. So there are food essential, there are food oils.
Mm-hmm.
No, and this is where there's some confusion. There's no such thing as food grade. So food oils are, like, let's say peppermint. Peppermint is used in a lot of flavorings.
Mm-hmm. Peppermint, I like peppermint teas.
Yeah, yeah. Well, peppermint tea is just the leaves.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, what do they call it? Peppermint essence.
Mm-hmm.
So essential oil would have been used. It would have been put through a deterpenation process to remove all the harmful chemicals and terpenes to make them fit for human consumption.
Wow.
So it's that simple. Mm-hmm. And, or they use them in dose, in microscopic doses. So it's like parts per million. So if they were to make a, say, for example, a 5-liter lemon cake for someone wants a massive cake, they mm-hmm. use it in parts per million. So it might be 5 drops. That's safe for human consumption.
Okay.
Just getting them, and this is a horror story, and this is on the On Guard product PDF, to put some On Guard in water. Oil and water doesn't mix. So that's bad in itself.
Sits at the top, is that right? Yeah. It kind of sits separate.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter how much you shake it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you stop, it just turns back into oil on the top. They tell you to soak your vegetables in it to kill any germs that might be on the vegetables, or soak your apple in it because it does have cinnamon in it, and cinnamon is beautiful, as we know. But cinnamon prevents blood clotting and not suitable at all for babies and children, or like I was saying before, people pregnancy, breastfeeding, people that might have blood clotting condition, you know. So it's also got clove in it, which is also similar contraindications. So yeah, they're saying soak your vegetables, soak your apple in it. No, please just don't.
Wow.
And they say these things, they tell you to make your salad oil and put some rosemary in it, and it's so that you use a lot. It's just so, so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no such thing as food grade essential oils. They are essential oils. And they do say things like FDA approved. The wording around all this is so outdated as well. It doesn't, they haven't caught on to this phenomenon of overuse of essential oils.
No.
It
might be FDA approved as a product, but yes, they're not approving how you're using them, because that isn't required to be approved by the FDA, I don't think, anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. And I've seen read things as well about, and in that Unwell show, about burning the throat, burning the
esophagus
and the gut.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the ways not to use them, I just need to go over that. Do not overuse them. Do not use them undiluted on your skin. Do not over diffuse, and do not use in your food and your drinks. If you don't believe me, please read that book, The
Unspoken. I'm going to order that.
It's so good, Jess. It is just so good. Every moment is a gasp moment.
Yeah.
The other great thing about in that book, because doTERRA sell products with wintergreen in it. Wintergreen is 99% chemical salicylate. It is hazardous. I've used wintergreen twice in my entire 11 years of being a qualified practitioner, and it's been for severe muscle tears. I've used 3 drops along with other essential oils in 30 mils, and the person was allowed to use it for 3 days and then they had to stop. It's hazardous, and it is in some doTERRA products. Sweet birch is another one. And there's a section dedicated to those 2 essential oils. And okay. That is important in itself. The other problem that we're seeing is that as certain essential oils are becoming scarce now because of the overuse, the prices have gone through the roof. Like a bottle of bergamot has tripled in price. That's having an effect on consumers and, you know, the qualified practitioners. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I guess your prices for appointments and everything else will have to go up, right?
I've written some articles about these topics. I could share them with you if you wanted.
Excellent. Podcast. Yeah.
And it's on, you know, how they're not essential oils aren't toys for children. I mean, I've seen videos of resellers going, my child's making rollerballs and she's going to take them to school and sell them at school. So I know it just goes on and on. So I've written about that. I've written about safe and unsafe ways of use, and also don't ingest, the scarcity, red flags, you know. So I can share those links with you.
That'd be brilliant.
The other thing that is one of the most scariest, and this is something that I'd love Hattie to specifically pick up on, is the manipulation of social media. So people have asked me, why don't you go on and comment on Facebook and Instagram? And, you know, I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say, qualified practitioner here, please don't do this. Do this instead. Some of them were, you know, I'd do that emoji horror face, you know, when an MLM, a diamond reseller, was making jelly lollies out of clove and cinnamon and orange essential oils. Just by the by, orange and lemon, very high in limonin. Limonin is a chemical that mechanics use to get oil off engines. I dropped accidentally a drop of lemon on a painted surface in our house, and it lifted the paint. So imagine what it's doing to your gut.
Wow.
I know. So some of the resellers will argue back at you and make you look very small. There's some quite aggressive ones out there.
Team together, I bet that's happened. Where they go in their WhatsApp groups and I've got somebody on my page and they help me.
I can tell you a very cool little story where I was involved in something like that. Anyway, what they do is they either delete anything that could be useful to the audience and leave you looking and just keep some conversation up so it leaves you looking like an idiot. So I've had that happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or they delete everything that you say and they block you from making comments. So when you're reading anything from a MLM essential oil reseller, you must have in your mind, because they all look great, all the comments. So, cool, this is great. I've been doing this. I ingest every day. There is nothing that challenges them in there. They take them out and they block them. So they completely manipulate the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I've blogged about that as well. You've just got to be so careful.
Yeah. And I think they probably see it as this woman's showing me how somebody will buy a bottle once every 2 years, whereas I need them to buy one a month.
Yes, exactly. I've got regular loyal clients.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might spend maybe $500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might spend $150 a year.
Yeah.
I was speaking to somebody that was spending $200 to $300 a month on essential oils.
Did they come to see you?
Yes. Recommended by their homeopath, who was a MLM reseller. The homeopath had no formal training in aromatherapy.
What's a homeopath?
Homeopath is another natural.
Oh, okay.
A natural, yeah. So there's naturopaths, homeopaths, herbalists, aromatherapists. Mm-hmm.
And they really target those markets, don't they? I mean, I was on some of the ways and it might be a tip for anybody who's listening who wants to look for their own top sellers of each MLMs, but I normally go on the website, go to their section on their team and the celebrating of big achievements, and you find people's names that way. And that's how you can look at their social medias. So when I've done that, you know, not much mention of hiring people, recruiting. A lot of mention of buying their starter kits, but only for use purposes. Not, and they probably enroll you as a seller at the same time.
Yeah, they do.
But lots of people, yoga teachers personal trainers, they target specific, and, you know, it makes it look more authentic, I think.
Yes, and you know the most scariest resellers? Midwives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be frightening. Yeah.
Very frightening. So let me tell you a wee story.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lady ring me. Her midwife had made a spray. Now, remember, water and oil don't mix. Doesn't matter how much you shake it. Mm-hmm. When you spritz it out, you will be getting undiluted essential oils on your skin. She made a spritz using a product called Digest Zen, which has essential oils in it that are contraindicated to children under the age of 6. But there was also essential oils in it that I don't even use in my practice, anise and tarragon, I think, from memory. Anyway, they stopped the blood from coagulating. It's an anticoagulant. She was telling her, this new mother, to spray on her newborn baby's tummy before every feed to prevent colic. After 6 weeks of doing this, the baby started having blood in its feces. She wanted to know if I thought this product could be causing it. Absolutely.
Wow. And did she end up going for medical treatment? Or?
Yep. And she stopped it and she rang back at when baby was 9 weeks old and it had been stopped. She was beside herself. The midwife had made this for her.
How is that? How is that allowed? Like, I'm sure, you know, our NHS midwife, like, they would not be able to push any product. They would.
I know. It's unethical.
Even the cleaning products in the room are NHS approved, you know. So how is that allowed over there?
It's unethical. And it's because it's not regulated. And it's because they're not educated. And I've tried to get in contact with the Midwife College in New Zealand and talk to them. But I wonder if it's just too big or they don't understand how big the problem is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a one-off. Well,
before, you know, before anticipating talking to you and doing my own little research in a way, but that, like, what you've taught me today is just gobsmacking. But, you know, before that, I'd have said the same about aromatherapy. I'd have said, you know, it's a complementary therapy that people use. People like the smell of things and it makes them calm. That's probably the only thing I would have said, because I'm uneducated. It's not something you learn about.
I mean, they're great for so many things: injuries, sleep, skincare. Really have to be special careful when using them in skincare, because the face skin is different from our body skin, so it's got to be a lesser dose. My biggest sellers are around sleep, stress. I make a childbirth, a labor product, you know, muscles, you know, really great in massage, things like that. So migraines and headaches, but I mean, I love them. I'm not against them. I'm just against people selling them that aren't properly educated.
Definitely. I wasn't aware of how educated you needed to be. You know, if I just went out and bought one and started, oh, I'm going to keep putting it on my wrist all day, you know, because
there are ways that you can use them at home safely without having to see a practitioner. You know, simple colds, buying one that's made for colds and following the directions. But if there's any, like, chronic or ongoing issues, seek professional help, you know.
Yeah.
And we're not as expensive. And it's because, I don't know, I'm not motivated by money for a start. So, but it's not expensive. I mean, a consult with me is $45 New Zealand. And sometimes they do it for free, you know, especially if it's worrying about safety. I don't charge for that. The same woman that was crying when I was telling her about the trouble that could be happening with her baby, she said, "I've got another question. I've been giving my son, who's 5, On Guard and a glass of water every morning to prevent colds. And is that okay?" And I said, "No, it's not. How is he? Is he suffering from any of these?" And I went through, you know, irritability, mood changes, headaches. You know, can a child tell you it's got a headache, though? And when I said, "Has he got any irritable bowel syndrome symptoms?"
Yeah.
So he had IBS.
Wow.
He just couldn't stop crying. So I just said, stop everything, remove all the essential oils from your house, don't use them. If you want to use them, talk to me, get products through me if you need them when there's a need for it, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't always hear back from people because I think they're just so shocked and stunned.
And sometimes probably embarrassed or something as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And they feel so guilty, you know? Another one, this was a midwife, just was for herself because she wanted to keep well. Her sister rang me, highly concerned. She was having unexplained seizures. There was no history of seizures in her family. She was drinking 20 drops of oregano. Now, oregano is a very harsh essential oil. I don't use it in my practice. It is antimicrobial. It's, you know, it's great, and it's also good for the word escapes me, antifungal. But it's so harsh, and there's kinder essential oils that can be used instead. She was ingesting 20 drops a day with clove. She started having seizures. She was a midwife. She had her license taken off her for 12 months and she wasn't allowed to drive. So her sister was so worried, she rang me and said, could it be the essential oils? And absolutely. Yeah. She stopped. She was so embarrassed.
Did she have the midwife her license taken off her because of the seizures?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. Because of the essential oil use.
No, because of the seizures. So the seizures stopped after 3 weeks. And then I said, tell her to go and have a complete blood test because what damage has she done to her kidneys and liver?
Wow.
I've had horror story after horror story after horror story, and it got to the stage where I was affecting my mental health because my flight fright was just reacting, you know. Mm-hmm. This is why I started the essential oil safety group, so that I could have some support from other aromatherapists.
Yeah, because it's a lot to take on yourself, especially the biggest. I didn't know it was a big thing in New Zealand, essential oils. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's huge. The biggest one and the most scariest one was when a lady rang me. We did a Zoom consult. This is her homeopath that had been recommending essential oil use. She had been diffusing them day in her house. She had a child, a two-year-old boy with a kidney condition. She'd been born with it. She'd been diffusing them in his bedroom all the time. She was ingesting copaiba every day in case she got a headache. She'd have 5 drops if she got a headache. She was also digesting orange. She was, you know, using them like Stacey Haluka was using them on mm-hmm. her and her child. So we talked about what she needed to do and how, you know, and I was very calm asking her to stop. We talked about what the essential oils she had, what was safe, what wasn't safe. Told her, don't use those anymore, they're okay, use them this way. You know, it was an hour-long conversation. And then she said, I just want to mention, I can't remember the boy's name, but he's just got this little rash on the inside of his arm. No. And I said, is there any eczema, psoriasis, dermatitis, you know, history? No, it's just come up. And I said, okay, stop everything. Mm-hmm. Remove all the essential oils from your house. He's starting to be totally sensitized to essential oils. His body is overloaded, remembering that he was also born with a kidney condition.
Oh, no.
So she just immediately started crying and she turned away and she said, I've got that rash all over my back. Yeah.
I mean, left untreated, what can happen after, you know, if people just put up with that rash and what happens?
The lifetime of sensitization. It's what happened to Stacey.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that you cannot be around essential oils in any way. And, you know, a lot of places don't have essential oils, but a lot of places, I mean, they're trendy at the moment. And that's a shame that they're trendy. They shouldn't be trendy.
No.
You know, it's exploiting Mother Earth as well. You know, we're just raping our plants. For the cost of a sale, you know, to make people rich and make people sick. It's enormously concerning, and it's been going. I haven't seen an end to it yet, and I've been deeply concerned for 6 years.
Wow.
So, you know,
do you
think
it's just getting worse?
Possibly. Hmm. I've had to. I can't go and look on resellers' sites, their Facebook pages. I can't go and look on doTERRA's. I mean, I'm blocked. doTERRA know about me too.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. It's cool. They often are looking at my LinkedIn profile, you know, someone from doTERRA in America.
You can see, can't you?
Yeah.
On LinkedIn, who's viewed your profile.
I got this wonderful order from a woman in Australia. It was $600 nearly of product. And I was like, whoa, fantastic. This is mm-hmm. great. Very rarely do I get orders that big, which is absolutely fine with me. And they were random. There was no kind of uniformity. I mean, someone might buy a balance blend off me and a relaxation synergy. And, you know, and you can tell that it's for stress and anxiety and blah, blah, blah. it was lots of things, and it was a bit of everything. And I just thought, something doesn't sit right. And so I Googled the person's name. It was the sales manager of doTERRA Australia, New Zealand. So I refunded her and then wrote to her and said, I will not be supplying my products to you. You didn't let me know who you were, and I see this as quite sneaky and things, but no things.
Yeah, good for you.
So, yeah. So anyway, I'm blocked from making any comments on any doTERRA.
It's because you don't know what you're talking about.
I know. I'm affecting their sales.
Yes, you must be. Hey, to get blocked by them, you're doing something.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I just need the New Zealand government to listen.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds, you know, it's not something that I've never met anybody. Like I said, I've been to beauticians and they've had them in rooms or spoke about them.
And they shouldn't be doing that even.
No, I mean, my friend is a beautician. I'm going to tell her all about this and to listen to this episode.
Yeah. She should not be diffusing essential oils.
And I mean, I'm not, I wouldn't know how often, but I know we've spoken about them before, you know. So, but places burn them all day long, don't they?
Yeah, I know. And look, if it's one or two drops, that's okay.
Yeah.
For adults. Mm-hmm. And if there's no pregnant woman around, mm-hmm. you know, because pregnancy is a big one. So it's tricky. I mean, years ago we did diffuse them all the time.
Yeah.
But
but you know better now.
Well, the thing is, Robert Tisserand is doing a lot more research, and he announced a few years back, hey, we need to stop this. And that's when we do professional development to learn the new studies and the new research.
Keep up to date.
New ways of doing things, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't diffuse in a beautician's room because a woman may not know she's pregnant.
Yeah.
And you may be diffusing. I know cinnamon and clove are really popular because mm-hmm. they smell lovely. Lemongrass is really popular.
I've also seen before, and this is just me reading things about anxiety and stuff like that, and coping mechanisms and triggers. And you can be triggered by smells of things.
Exactly. It's like clary sage. Clary sage is fantastic during childbirth, not in a diffuser, but a personal inhaling from the bottle.
Oh, okay.
It needs to be completely removed from the room about an hour before baby's born. So you stop using it at the pushing stage because the body needs the adrenaline to help with the pushing because it calms you so much. It is amazing for childbirth. And I've seen it in practice where a woman's been hysterical, smell it, calm. It's incredible.
Wow.
But my daughter used it for her babies and it triggers her back to childbirth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very good point.
Mm.
So what I was going to say was, you know, your friend might be treating somebody in her as a beautician, and she may have essential oils going that, and the lady might be pregnant and not know it.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing is, this is another thing I had to be really careful. I used to massage. So I used to massage, and I only did 3 a day with essential oils because they're absorbing into my skin as I'm massaging.
Oh, yeah.
So I never used to use anything for mm-hmm. myself when I was massaging. I had a client go to Australia and get a massage in Australia, and she got massaged with undiluted wintergreen. And
I can tell by your face I'm supposed to be, but yes, I'm not sure what it is.
Wintergreen is that hazardous essential oil that I was
talking
about.
Oh,
so it's 99%
she's been used neat on the skin.
Yes, neat on her skin. Just felt the drops on her skin.
Oh, no.
Shouldn't be used with anyone that's got a heart condition. Liz had a heart condition.
Wow.
So she sent me, she took, when she had to get changed, she sent a photo and said, gasp, because I educated her well as a client. I've just been massaged with this. Oh my God, you know, blah, blah, blah. So she was feeling quite panicky.
Mm.
Wintergreen takes 2 to 3 days to get out of your system. So, but there was nothing anyone could do.
No.
But anyway, what about the masseuse? How many times a day is she doing that?
Yeah.
You know, that was also a huge.
And sometimes they probably just pick, oh, this one smells nice. Oh, I can put up with smelling this one all day, because you must get sick of smelling the same thing all day, every day. You know, oh, I'll use this one today. This smells different. I'll use this one.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And the things they were, it was a multi-level marketing brand as well.
Of course.
So, you know, there's lots of unethical stuff where, I mean, look, I could just talk for ages about the horror stories of teachers in schools.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a fuse in the classroom.
That's crazy.
You know, and why? Oh, because the kids are loud. What business is it of yours as a teacher to make a decision about
subdued.
How a child
make a child subdued?
Yes, exactly. And but the thing is, why they do it is go, my child is so calm. Why? Let me tell you about this fantastic opportunity. You know, it just is And they're taught to behave that way. They're taught to look at every avenue
as an opportunity.
Start with your family and friends. Yep, totally.
Yeah. And not knowing the health, and you know, like I could. My parents both suffer with high blood pressure, you know, and I could, you know, use this.
I know.
No, don't use this.
Essential oils that aren't good for epilepsy. Like you said, high blood pressure, if people are on warfarin, if people are on antidepressants. Peppermint is very, very, very good, fantastic for shock and inhaling it from the bottle for headaches, but contraindicated to children under the age of 6, because they've got a little valve at the top of their lungs that doesn't mature properly until they're 6 years old. So it's overwhelming and it can cause respiratory problems. And I know, that kind of thing. The same with overuse of essential oils around babies and children can cause respiratory problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you've got a fractious baby and you're using essential oils that aren't suitable or high dose, it's going to make them more fractious. It's going to make them, and how can a baby tell you they've got a headache?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, there's a lot to it.
So worrying. Yeah, I didn't realise there was so much to it, and I almost feel dumb for not knowing, you know.
How are you supposed to know what you don't know?
It's just such a deep topic. I never thought it was a deep topic.
It is. It's massive, and it's not a topic that you can talk about quickly. I mean, I can go into it for so much longer, but you know, it's the stuff that we need to know as qualified practitioners.
Can I ask as well, I think, are some toxic to pets, is that right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
As a qualified dog mum over here.
Yes. Okay, so cats and dogs are different.
Yep.
We've got two dogs, and we've got two little griffins. Bambi, our little black griffin, doesn't like being in my practice room.
Mm-hmm.
She prefers to stay outside. Animals are different, you know, like humans.
Yeah.
Some people can take more than others, you know. Bambi hates it. If I have trouble sleeping and I put the sleep blend on my neck, you know, my safely diluted topical treatment, because our dogs are spoiled and allowed to sleep on the bed.
As they should.
She goes to the other end of the bed. She's like, you stink.
Yeah.
Doesn't like it. So dogs can handle it to a certain extent. They've got to be able to leave the room if they want to. Cats are different. Essential oils are toxic to cats. They've got a different system to dogs.
Right.
They process things differently. I'm not a vet, so I can't explain that.
Yeah, no. It was just when I was reading things people had said about animals.
Yeah, cats have to be able to leave the room.
Yeah.
Better to not diffuse when the cat's in the room. Put the cat outside if you need to. Or don't diffuse and just use a personal inhaler
or
inhale bottle. Never apply to a cat, you know.
Wow.
And I mean, my dogs have had little wounds and I can treat them, a skin wound.
Yeah.
Where they can't lick it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that's because I know what I'm doing. No,
you're not putting it in the dog food.
No. So I think we've kind of covered anything. Do you have any other questions?
Just going back, and I hope people have watched that program called Unwell, and if you haven't, you need to, because that that was the starting point for me. I was like, wow, like people.
And even Stacey's story has been diluted somewhat.
Okay.
Because if you read the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been edited quite a lot, I guess, in Netflix. Yes. There was people on that program, and I don't know names, and I can't remember the exact story, but making huge claims like curing tumours and cancers and things, which is incredibly worrying. And I don't know if that's have you heard of that before?
Of course, absolutely. Frankincense, you know?
Frankincense.
So I have very, very sadly treated terminal patients before. The only time anyone with cancer should be treated with essential oils is obviously by someone that's qualified, but when their team of medical people say it's okay as well. The beautiful woman that I treated that tragically passed away, she wasn't allowed to have vitamins, she wasn't allowed to have you know, when she was in chemotherapy and nothing, because they just can't afford to have something that might trip things up and not understand why things don't work. Once she'd had all her treatment, I had to write, I chose to write to her doctor and say, this is what I'd like to do, is this okay? And it was, of course, it was a very low dose.
Yeah.
And I was allowed to slowly give her massages and introduce her back.
Was that for pain relief or like relaxation?
It was for relaxation and sleep. And then tragically, she cancer came back and she did pass. But in the last week of her life, I would go and give her massages with Roman chamomile and lavender, and that was all.
Yeah.
And that was just, she loved the smell. It just gave her some peace in a very tragic time. So no, essential oils do not cure cancer. They can be complementary to a health condition. You know, and that's what, and you've got to recognize your level of, your scope of expertise, you know. I'm so cautious. I don't step on toes.
No.
It's like I would never tell a woman how to have a baby. Why is a midwife telling a woman how to use essential oils when she's got no qualifications? I have so much respect for qualified in their field. But if you're not qualified in my field, you know, I give a lot of advice to midwives, and I provide products to midwives, and it's a lovely relationship.
That's fantastic.
And
hopefully you can get the scope, you know, wider and reach more people with the information. And
there is one more thing that I have forgotten that's really important.
Okay.
So there is a qualification that can be reached, and it's in aromatic medicine, and this is really important, because people will say, oh, but you can induce essential oils if you are qualified in aromatic medicine. There's nowhere in New Zealand I can study it. I'd have to go to Australia, and it's a 4-year course.
Oh, wow. Okay? Is that something you want to do?
No, I don't, because I'm really happy with using essential oils internally. You don't have to do it that often.
No.
So I watched, it was a conference, an aromatherapy conference, and it's an incredible aromatic medicine practitioner called Debbie Atterby in Australia. She gave a talk about when you would use them. So she said, here's an example. So someone has got an infection that antibiotics haven't touched, and they've tried everything else, and they've come to me, can I help with, you know, making a capsule for this condition? What has to be taken first is a complete health history has to be recorded. They have to be weighed. They have to know, so we need to know how much they weigh, what their height is, whether they smoke, how much alcohol they drink, whether they take any recreational drugs, what other medications they're on. If everything meets the need that it's okay, a diluted specific product will be made using the essential oils that can treat infections. Capsules would be made. They would take one capsule a day for up to, she said, for this condition, 5 days, and then you stop.
Wow, so quite short.
That's what aromatic medicine practitioners do. Mm. It's really intense. And her students have to study for 2 years before they're allowed to even look at coming in on with her and observing, you know. And then, yeah, so they've got to be qualified before they can even prescribe anything like that.
Wow.
So it's that serious.
Yeah, it can be. And the like you were showing the pictures in that book, the after effects can be very serious. Yeah. And like the lady having seizures.
Yes.
Like very serious.
And like I say, there's going to be people that say, I'm fine. I've been doing this for years. I'm fine. I don't know how they can be fine. I don't know. Mm. You know, there will be a problem. Sometimes people have problems and they don't even know, like gallbladder problems.
Yeah.
I know someone that was ingesting one drop of lemon every day and she started having gallbladder problems. Mm. You know, we don't actually know. We also, this is the other thing that concerns me. We know that there's neurotransmitters in the gut, which are the same as neurotransmitters that are in the brain.
Okay.
What are the chemicals doing to those neurotransmitters in the gut? This is stuff that we still don't know because it's a fairly new thing. Mm-hmm. We don't know yet all of the problems that this could lead to.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It's probably a field that's going to need a lot more research. And a lot more funding to research and everything.
I've just thought of two more things. Sorry, okay. These are good.
No, go on. I'm enjoying it. Go on.
There was a reseller that got to know who I was. Okay. And she tried to argue with me on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I can't be blocked and deleted from my own page. Mm. And I had a client that was in her oily group.
Right.
She came to me, but she stayed in the oily group. I don't know why she just chose to, but she sent me an audio recording of one of this meeting sessions about this woman called Gillian Parkinson of Alair Science. She's a qualified aromatherapist. Yeah,
probably said it like that as well. Yeah. Or with the air quotes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm going to teach you how to deal with people like her. She's very aggressive and must not be approached.
Oh.
I know, I was a little bit flattered that it had such an impact on her.
Yeah.
But that was very real. And that same, this lady used to do lots of live sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the live sessions she did was, and this is horrific. So she's talking about childbirth. And there is a way where the perineum can be treated before, you know, about 6 months before childbirth, by making an appropriately diluted blend and rubbing on the perineum to try and prevent tearing.
Okay.
So there is a way of doing that properly. Her way was, now this is just mind-blowing, her way was to, just as the baby's head is crowning, out of the vagina, get some frankincense and rub it around the vagina. Yep.
I wish now, people could see my face.
Where's the problem? Let me tell you. First of all, you don't put neat essential oils on your body as an adult. What about that baby coming through?
Uh-huh.
It's going to inhale it. It could get the essential oils in its eyes. Remember that the essential oils penetrate the hair follicle. So, I mean, a baby can sit in that position for a few minutes, you know, before the next contraction comes and before the heat.
You're in excruciating pain, squealing your head off. Everybody stop, wait, I need to rub this.
Yes, on my vagina, exactly. And but also the essential oils would go into the baby's body.
That's right.
As it passes through the vagina, through its hair follicles, on its head, down its face, in its mouth.
And what does she say that helps with?
stopping the perineum from tearing when you're giving birth. I mean, that's saying things to sell things and a profit at all costs is a pure example. Wow. Now, that little clip, we've got a TV program in New Zealand called The Project.
Mm-hmm.
They did a three-night, it's a news half-hour everyday program. They did a three-day topic on essential oil use, and I was very lucky to have been involved in that. And
oh, wow.
They captured that clip and put it on New Zealand TV. So, you know, and wow. They also captured the clip of the woman drinking Melissa. And she was the American woman who is a chiropractor, not an aromatherapist. She was a chiropractor. She's, And they also put a screenshot of her drinking essential oil. She was in a lift going to a meeting. She was all stressed. So she got this bottle. It's just rubbish.
Oh, my God.
But anyway, yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
This is what
I can't tell you how interesting. Like, wow, it's just. I feel like it's a rabbit hole I'm going to go down.
Oh, it is. Yeah, yeah. And look, yes, you can contact me if you want to expand on this.
Oh, I will if be. Hattie, I'm going to be ordering that book definitely.
Yeah, if Hattie wants to get in contact with me too, you know. She might have questions after this. If she wants to use voice clips on her TikTok, she can.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm so grateful that you've done this. And
no, thank you. I'm really grateful you've come. It's something that, you know, I don't come across. I haven't come across anybody. I don't know anybody in my area who sells them, even under the MLM. Like, I don't think so. Here, it's a big thing in New Zealand. Is quite interesting in itself.
And you know, America and Australia. Yeah. And it is in the UK for sure.
Yeah.
But you know, you've only got 5 million people in New Zealand, and you know, you've got how many million in London alone?
Oh God knows. So, I couldn't even tell you. But yeah, it's something that I feel like I'm gonna be more aware of myself, you know, going into situations.
I'll send you links to my blog.
Yeah.
But also I'll send you a link to the Tisserand Institute, which in case anyone definitely. Would like to do courses.
Yeah.
Because you know, they're affordable and they are reputable. Robert Tisserand is just an incredible and a very
it sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So I'll send you links that people can read, and I've got a really good article from a woman called the English aromatherapist. She doesn't do it anymore. I don't know why, but she's got a great one about diffusing in public places. So I'll send that. A lot of those links are within my articles. So
we can put them all in the description box as well.
Yeah,
for anybody who wants to read, I'm sure they will.
And when your podcast is up, I will share the F out of it in New Zealand.
Thank you.
And obviously the New Zealand Safety Group, if people want to join. I'm not quite sure how far your audience is yet, you know, with the podcast.
I've been in some countries like in America, in Australia, is a high one too, but really random countries as well.
That's
nice.
Great.
It's nice.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I mean, it's something that's worth learning about for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely,
absolutely, and knowing where you can get in contact with a qualified practitioner.
Definitely.
You know, we just want. I don't actually promote my products on my Facebook page much anymore at all because I'm so about safety. Yeah. I don't want to be grouped in with any multi-level marketing, you know, resellers, because a lot of them rebrand. They will make their own products and create their little brand.
I've seen people's posting and like their own recipe cards.
Yes.
And buy all these different drops, oils for me, and drop them all in together. And look what happens. Yeah. It smells lovely.
Yeah. But what else does it do? What do I have to be careful about? Who can I use it around?
Crazy.
Yeah.
A crazy world you've opened my eyes to. So thank you. No, it's great. Thank you for coming on, and thank you for explaining
all
of that.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Cool. Okay.
I just want to say a huge thank you to Gillian for joining me and telling us all vital information about essential oils and how they are dangerously misused. Don't forget to check the description box below on whichever platform you're using to get all the info and Gillian's group, the books she referred to, which I highly recommend you purchase, and of course, for further study if that is what you're interested in. I will also upload this episode to the Uncovered YouTube channel for anyone wanting to send this on to anyone else who may be using unsafely or maybe even in one of the MLMs mentioned. Thank you for listening.